Today what I'm going to share with you is really in connection with last week's message. If you weren't able to be here last Sunday, I'll encourage you. I don't have it up on the website yet, but we'll get that there. But in some format, either through a CD duplicated, I'd encourage you to go ahead and get that. We talked about last week, I entitled the message Fields of Assignment. And what we're talking about is areas where God has gifted us and graced us and enabled us, empowered us, given us the authority and the power to be able to function in serving Him and serving His body and serving in this world that He has left us to be and to be an ambassador for Him. We talked about a term that I called areas of jurisdiction, which I defined it this way, as the God-given grace enabling a person to function within a limited level of God-given authority in the area of their gifting and anointing. It's the ability to receive, to interpret, and to discern God's given wisdom, revelation, and insight in line with the gift of the grace that is given. Okay, so it's kind of a lengthy definition there when we're talking about field of assignment, but basically what it's saying is this: God has gifted you. Everyone has received a gift. We saw that last week in the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Everyone has received a gift, and we're told to employ that gift in serving others. With that gift, God gives you the authority, and He also gives you the power. Authority and power, the difference, I described it last week, authority is like the badge. You know, someone gives you a badge to be an enforcer, that's the symbol of authority. But that's not the power, okay? Here's the power. the weapons or the tools used to enforce that authority, okay? So there's authority and power. And it's the same with God with us, that He has given us places where we have a place of spiritual authority. It might, you know, just the simple illustration is a mother and a father in a family. They have a place of authority. And with that authority comes the power or the grace in order to carry out that, to receive the wisdom from God, to receive the ability to discern what's right and what's wrong in our family and this kind of thing. Well, there are positions, spiritual positions of authority in the body of Christ. You may have a place of authority in your workplace where you have you have something to say about the people that work together with you and those kinds of things. And so God gives us places of authority, and that's called our field of assignment. And with that, He also gives us the grace in order to carry out that. Today, what I want to talk about is boundaries and expanding boundaries. And the term boundaries comes from a passage in Scripture. I'll have you look up with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And as you are looking that up, I'll share these thoughts with you when it's talking about boundaries. There are both spiritual and physical boundaries. Spiritual boundaries speak of the level of God's reign that we submit to. In other words, God is sovereign, but really he only has as much rule in our life as we allow Him to have, really. I mean, you know, God, again, that doesn't take away from His sovereignty. God is able to do all things, but yet He has, in a sense, subjected Himself to give us a free will so that He will not override our will. So God's rule is really dependent upon the level or the boundaries that you have established for Him to rule in your life. So we're talking about spiritual boundaries as a level of God's reign that we submit to. But then there are physical boundaries, and that is geographic or a geographic area that we are given to serve. Now, you know, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world. Okay, but we find out in Scripture that there were applications to that all the world. In fact, at one point, Paul was going to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God did not permit him to go there. He was going to go to Asia, and the Spirit of God did not permit him to go there. And eventually, he went to Macedonia. He discerned the Lord's will about where his boundaries were for that season of his ministry. And so we can realize that there are areas that God has given, there are geographic areas that God has given us to serve in, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But so if you have turned with me, or still turning, continue to turn, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13 through 15. This is a passage of Scripture that we looked at last week when we were talking about fields of assignment or boundaries of the work God has given us. Fields of assignment is actually from the New International Version translation, which I'm not using here today. I'm using the New Living Translation. But in verses 13 through 15 from 2 Corinthians 10, it says, we will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Okay, so we're talking about extended or expanded boundaries. First of all, it speaks of the boundaries of the work God has given us. So this is where I'm getting this term, boundaries or expanded boundaries, is that God gives us boundaries to work in, or an area of jurisdiction, or an area, a field of assignment. We talked about that last week. And it is our area of authority, the place that God has gifted us and given us authority to work in. And Paul makes reference to that. We have authority in those boundaries. And he says, he goes on to say, then we hope your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Okay, we hope your faith will grow so that the boundaries among you are the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Now, I believe that this is primarily speaking of a spiritual boundary being expanded, because he's talking about your faith growing. Okay, so when a person's faith grows, faith is really trust in the Lord, is it not? Faith is trust in the Lord. So as you're trusting in the Lord, as that grows, your boundaries are being expanded in your spiritual relationship with the Lord. He has more rule in your life, therefore the boundaries are being expanded. So Paul is saying to them, we want your faith to grow. We want the boundaries of our work among you to increase as your faith grows. So that's speaking more of a spiritual boundaries being expanded. However, at the same time, any person's when their spiritual boundaries are expanded, their geographic boundaries or the physical boundaries are going to expand as well. You're going to have influence over more people and more opportunity to have influence as your faith grows, as your trust in God grows. So the spiritual expanding of your boundaries will also increase your geographic expansion. Let me share this scripture with you as well, 2 Timothy 2:2, and this really does describe both a spiritual and geographic expansion of boundaries. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So can you see how the intent here is for this message of the gospel, or these teachings of scriptures, these truths that we learn, they're supposed to continue and to grow and grow and grow. Paul's saying to Timothy, teach them to faithful people who are also going to be able to teach others. It's supposed to expand. Our boundaries are supposed to increase. Our ability to bring people into an ever-expanding relationship with the Lord and them have a greater area of influence is supposed to continue to expand. We see that in scripture. Again, when we're talking about expanding spiritual boundaries, another word for boundaries I would use is capacities. In other words, we have a boundary, we have an area, a field of assignment. That is really according to the capacity that we have. Last week we saw the parable of the talents, that the master handed out to his servants talents according to their ability. Okay, so the ability that they had was really their capacity. One was given 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. And it was given according to their ability or according to their capacity. So when we're talking about boundaries, again, what we're talking about is increasing our capacity to serve the Lord in a variety of ways according to the gift and according to the power that he's given us. Increasing or expanding boundaries. So we're actually talking about increasing our faith or our trust. These are the spiritual boundaries, the rule of God in our life. The more we allow God to rule in our life, the greater the boundary, the greater the capacity that we have. So expanding spiritual boundaries is really talking about increasing our faith or our trust in the Lord. We are talking about God's rule expanding, God's rule increasing in our lives. Now, there's a variety of areas when we speak about God's rule increasing, God's rule expanding. You know, first, it's with our own individual lives. We want the Lord to have greater and greater influence in our lives. You know, even as I prayed this morning about, you know, we're destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Well, we will live more of Jesus-like lives if God has more and more control in our lives. We're setting the flesh aside. We're embracing more of the likeness of Christ. So it starts in our own personal lives. But it's also intended to be in our church. When we come together as a group of people, our intent is to let's form a community where we together are serving the Lord, where we can increase in our ability to serve, where we can't do it on our own. It's like I was talking about in the NASCAR, you work best as a team. You can't do everything you need to do because you're not gifted to do it all. And so we work together as a team. So as a church, we can continue to increase in our ability or our capacity to serve the Lord in a variety of ways as we discover your gifting, okay, your field of assignment, as we put that to use, as you know, as that is allowed to expand. You know, just Larissa's a prime example of that. You know, she was here years ago, went to serve the Lord in another area and has come back, and there's a gift there that we can implement. And we can expand that area of ministry because that gift is being implemented in that fashion. And so, you know, we as a church grow and we increase in our spiritual boundaries as well. And also then, you know, that speaks of people coming into the kingdom of God through salvation, being born again. As increasing number of people give their lives to the Lord, that expands the spiritual boundary. More people now are saying God, Jesus is Lord. More people are allowing God to rule in their life now because they have received Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So that's an expanding boundary. And also then in the lives of the people that we mentor, you can help another Christian to develop an increasing aspect of God's rule in their life through mentoring them, bringing them into an even closer relationship with the Lord, or where they are turning more of their life over to the Lord's rule. We increase and expand the spiritual boundaries in doing that. We also, it's our intent not only to expand spiritual boundaries, but to expand physical boundaries, as we talked about, geographic areas. We as a church have been called to minister in Dodge Center and the surrounding area. Okay, we don't have near as much influence, you know, in Rochester as we do in Dodge Center because we're located here in Dodge Center. Doesn't mean we have no influence in Dodge Center, in fact, or in Rochester. In fact, what we will discover if we as a church are doing our part, that our boundaries will continue to expand in areas of ministry. Again, we've been called to minister in Dodge Center and the surrounding areas, but these boundaries can be expanding. And a number of the ways that these boundaries are expanding, you know, first of all, again, it's in your individual life. As you come here and you get taught the Word of God and you are encouraged to use your gift to serve the Lord, and you go out from this place and you all have a field of assignment. You all have a sphere of influence where you are affecting other people. And the more that your spiritual boundaries increase in your relationship with the Lord, the more the geographic boundaries increase as you go and you serve the Lord in your sphere of influence, the place where you work or the school that you attend. These kinds of things are where the geographic expansion happens for Praise Fellowship Church. Sending people to other areas. Sometimes we do that intentionally. Sometimes we do that unintentionally. In other words, there's times where, you know, and I've kind of grumbled about this before, when, you know, young people are growing up and then they go off to college. They find some other person that becomes significant in their life. And so they move to a different location, or they find a job that becomes significant in their life. And so they move to another location. And like I said, you've heard me grumble about, you know, too many times, or the young people, the crop that was coming up, you know, it's, they're all gone. You know, and I get frustrated about that sometimes. And I wonder, well, Lord, what's going on? What's wrong with us? Is the kind of thing that, you know, has kind of been my raunchy attitude that I've expressed back to the Lord. But, you know, the Lord helps me. Every once in a while, I get a glimpse of reality, and he helps me understand that it's not just that, okay, you've lost something because these young people have gone somewhere else. You've actually expanded your boundaries. you worked with them, you trained them. They got a foundation for Christian living and Christian witness and Christian service. And now they're going someplace else and utilizing those things that you have trained them in another congregation, another body. Again, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes, you know, someone will leave here and they just kind of dissipate into the horizon or whatever. They don't get connected someplace else. And that's an unfortunate thing. I don't think that's the Lord's intent. But there are times when we do send people to other places, and that is actually a way of increasing our physical boundaries as well. We have sent out missionaries and support missionaries, and that is in effect a way of us carrying out the commission of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We don't all go all into all the world, but we send out others and we support others who are going to different areas of the world. And that's a way that we are expanding, again, our geographic boundaries or our physical boundaries. We planted a church in Park Rapids in 2001. And that was really an expansion of ourselves to start another church in another geographic location. And in that, you know, on the effective ministry that is happening there, we expanded our physical boundaries. And then also multiplying ministries of Praise Fellowship Church. When something has worked and it's worked well here and others see that and want to do the same, you know, the prime example is the game feed. You know, Charlie's been administrating that for years here, and we've had others that have visited and said, you know, we want to do this in our area. And so there's a church down in Albert Lea now, Crossroads Church, that is desiring to have their, and is planning their own game feed. And that's a way that we were, instead of trying to increase the number of people that we'd bring and go to a different venue, a larger event, that kind of thing, to multiply ourselves into a different area, is a way that we as a church are increasing our, or expanding our physical boundaries. So, you know, those are all ways that we have had the opportunity and have been able to increase our areas of influence or our areas of jurisdiction, not necessarily the jurisdiction, but expand the boundaries of ministry. I like to use this term, advancing the kingdom of God. And there's times where you'll hear me, you know, speaking about this, like, or praying this, actually, when we receive the offering. And the scripture says that God has given us the ability to obtain wealth, that his covenant might be established in the earth. See, as his covenant is being established, or as people are more and more trusting in him, receiving salvation, the kingdom of God is being advanced in this earth. Okay, so we talk about advancing the kingdom, which is the physical and the spiritual boundaries, our capacities increasing. Okay, now I want you to see scripturally that there is the expectation of expansion. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, this is more talking about the spiritual capacities or the spiritual boundaries being expanded. But there is actually an expectation that this expansion would happen in your individual lives. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Okay, so this is not a very positive word that the author of Hebrews is speaking to these people. He, first of all, says, you know, there's much more that I'd like to explain to you. Much more that I would like to explain. Now, do you remember when Jesus said this, in effect, to his disciples? He said to his disciples, he said, I have many more things to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth and even reveal those things which are to come. Jesus was saying, there's something that's preventing me from sharing you greater truth, and that is the Holy Spirit in your life who's going to teach you and train you. That's not the case with these people. These people have the Holy Spirit. What he's saying here, there's many more things I'd like to say to you, but you're spiritual babies. You're not developing like you're supposed to develop. He's saying to them, you're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. He says, you ought to be teaching others. Okay, so here is what we see as the expectation of expanding boundaries. You ought to be taking the truths that you have and teaching them to others. You ought to be expanding the kingdom in that reality of sharing truth and people embracing truth and living their lives in a greater faith and trust in the Lord. That ought to be what's happening. But he says, that's not happening with you. He says, you need someone to teach you the basics. That's what's going on right now with them. And he says, you are like babies, not mature. You ought to be eating solid food, and that's going to teach you what's right and wrong. You'll know. You'll be able to discern right from wrong from use of the Word of God. But it's not happening with you because of this. You're spiritually dull, not listening, and so you're like babies. Now, I've got a video illustration that's going to show this. If we just stopped at this point, if we said this is the condition of our church right now, it would lead to something that you're going to see this clip that's called the preacher beeper. Okay, and this is not what we want to happen. So whenever you guys are ready, go ahead and put that up.
I mean, you go to church, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I do.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on God and church and heaven and stuff?
All great questions. Just it needs to be answered. Pretty deep question for out on the lawn this morning. I do have a lot of thoughts on that particular issue.
Sam, you rang?
Pastor Mike, what took you so long?
He was just asking me kind of what I believe. Gotcha. I'll take it from here.
Thanks.
See you guys. Okay.
Well, first of all, Sam believes the Bible's the inspired, infallible Word of God. Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross as a propitiation.
I'm sure your dad's gonna start coming to the games. You know? Once the divorce is funny, how things get better. Pastor. Can I get a minute?
Not really. I'm babysitting. I've got some groceries to deliver and Bill.
That's great. Look, hey, Jack over here needs somebody to show him the love of Christ. Dad's a real jerk. You know, you got the counseling background. We got tickets to a game. We are late. Maybe just a round to catch to show him, hey, somebody cares.
Yeah, well.
You know, see you Sunday.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay. But the place is falling apart. I just don't know what to do. Every last dollar goes to the doctor. What can be done?
I don't know. That sounds really sad.
Somebody need a minister?
Oh, pastor. Great. She can't take care of her house. There's got to be something someone can do for her, right?
You mean help her out? Meet her needs?
That's a great idea. Why did I think of that?
Don't know. I just did preach a 16-week series on showing love in practical ways.
Oh, yeah. Hey, great series. Good luck, huh?
Actually, I was just helping an older woman walk across the street. I left her in the median. Hi.
That's not the way it's supposed to be, obviously. No, we do not have preacher beepers. And, but too many times, that's the thought, and that's the attitude. It's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Call the pastor, you know, or make an arrangement for the pastor to meet with this person or whatever. It's like, wait a minute. Where we ought to be, what the scripture is saying, is that we ought to be expanding our boundaries so that our capacities are increasing for us to meet the needs, or as it says here, we ought to be teaching other people. We ought to have the ability, increasing in that ability, to be effective with ministry to other people, not just, hey, call the pastor. Okay? So I want to just stir that in you. But the good news is, and we'll go on here in Hebrews chapter 6, of better things. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. You know, I should really back up. I will. I'll start at verse 7 when it says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We're confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. So I believe what he's saying here in the context, you know, in the previous chapter, he's talking about, you know, by now you ought to be teaching others, but you need the basics. But we're going to move on from that, is what he's saying. And you are not going to be a field that is not bearing fruit. You are not going to be burned up. That's not God's intent for you. That's not the farmer's intent for you. The farmer's intent for you is to bear a good crop. And so we believe for better things for you than just you being spiritually dull and being incapacitated, talking about boundaries being capacities, you being incapacitated from being able to meet the needs of other people or being able to teach others these things. And so he goes on to say in verse 10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Okay, so we're talking about better things. We don't believe that this applies to you, is what he's saying there first, meaning we don't believe that you are to bear nothing, or that you're to be condemned to destruction, to only bear thorns and thistles. We believe that you're to bear good fruit. You're meant for better things that come with salvation. And he goes on to say, showing your love for God by caring for other believers. Like, you know, the last example in that, the lady didn't know what to do to help this. And he said, you know, I just preached a series on, you know, showing God's love by helping other people. Oh, yeah, good series. But what did we learn? What did we apply? Instead of just learning the knowledge, we're to go and apply that. And that's how we expand the boundaries. Okay, so, and then goes on to say, then you will not become spiritually dull. Remember, that was the problem with them in Hebrews chapter 5. He says, you're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. But this is the cure for spiritual dullness, okay. The cure for spiritual dullness is to be involved with other people, serving other people, helping other people, being your brother's keeper. That's because you're not your brother's keeper, get the preacher beeper. You know, and that's wrong. We are our brother's keeper. And so this is how we'll prevent us from becoming spiritually dull and being like babies. And that way we will inherit God's promises because of faith and endurance. We want to be able to inherit the promises of God. Now, one thing that I just want to interject here is it's almost kind of a parenthetical thought here about boundaries, and that is acknowledging others' boundaries. You know, we talked about the boundaries being the field of assignment that God has given us. Okay, He gives us an area where we have gifted and grace to serve. We have an authority and a power. But we need to be careful not to trespass upon other people's boundaries. To acknowledge authority and God's grace, and to don't make judgments any we don't have enough information. Okay, so what am I saying with this? Let me give kind of an illustration about, you know, like the people that are serving as ministry leaders in Praise Fellowship Church. I believe that they have been given an area of assignment, a field of assignment by God to serve as leaders in the area that God has called them, whether it be music or children's or youth or whatever area God has given them. He gives them the capacity. He gives them the authority. He gives them the power. He gives them the ability to discern what's right for that area of ministry. I rely a lot upon that gifting that God has given them, and I don't feel like I have to be judging everything that they do. Now, I realize that as pastor of the church, I still have a responsibility for oversight in those areas. But I trust greatly how God has gifted them and the discernment he's going to give them for their area of assignment. And so I don't have to micromanage everything that they do and say yes, no to every decision that they make. It's like, you know, even like with next Sunday and Jim with the biker rally, you know, there's a number of different options that I've been tossing out to Jim, but I say, you know what, it's your call. You decide what to do on this because, you know, God has given you the leadership of this event, this outreach event. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do to make that work. It's, you know, God has given you the ability to do that. And see, you know, at other times we have a tendency to, without enough information, we have a tendency to judge another person's area, and we're not gifted to know their area. Another simple illustration is, you know, as a husband and father, God has given me spiritual leadership for my family. But he's not given me spiritual leadership for your family. In one sense, as pastor, I will input into your family spiritual things, but I am not the one to determine what's right and what's wrong for your family. And I don't have enough information to be able to do that. If you come to me for counsel, I'll give you counsel, but then what I'm going to tell you is go with what gives you peace. But it's going to be determined by you because you're the one that God has gifted to do that. And so, you know, here's where we need to guard against our judgment of how other parents are dealing with their children. We'll say, well, they ought not do that. They ought to do, you know, and there, again, there are biblical things that we know that we're to apply, and we're here to share those biblical things with you about training your children. We have a tremendous parenting program called Growing Kids God's Way. And the intent is to share with you scriptural things. But you know what? You're the one that's going to determine what's right for your children with God's help. I mean, that's what we're going to direct you towards, God's help. And we're not going to sit here and say, you know, you should be doing this. You should be doing that with your kids. You know, so we have to be careful because oftentimes we're making judgments about other people's areas of their boundaries or their area of jurisdiction, their area of assignment, field of assignment, and we don't have enough information to do that. So that was that parenthetical thought here, and now we're going to go towards guarding against lost ground. I want to mention some things along this line. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom," New American Standard says, "from the domain of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." This is what happens when we receive salvation. God takes us out from under the domain or the dominion of Satan, and he transfers us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That means Satan doesn't have rule over our lives anymore. Before we're saved, he does. He has a place of authority in our lives, and he'll come and he'll try to mess up your life and kill you. But when we're delivered out from the domain of darkness, he doesn't have dominion in our lives anymore. And my point in this part of the message is, let's not give him anything back. Okay? And we see this. There is a way of us ending up giving him ground back. And this passage of Scripture makes reference to that. I don't think that this is the only way that we give him ground back, but this definitely describes what happens, what can happen. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 27. It says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Okay, so what this is saying is throw off the sinful nature. Remember, we've been delivered from the domain of the dominion of darkness, so throw off that old man. Throw off that old sinful nature. Instead, put on the new nature, which is created in the likeness of Jesus. We're to be transformed into the image, conformed to the image of Jesus. So put on that new nature. And it says, don't let anger control you. Now, it does not say don't get angry. Some translations say, be angry and sin not. In other words, you can be angry without it being sinful. But what this is saying is don't let anger control you. Because when anger controls you, it says it gives a foothold to the devil. In other words, he's got his foot in the door. In other words, he's got a place. In fact, another translation uses that word place. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give opportunity to the devil. Don't allow him to establish a fortress or a stronghold. These are some of the other scriptural terms that are used regarding when we're dealing with these spiritual forces. We need to destroy. God has given us divinely powerful weapons for the pulling down of strongholds or for the destruction of fortresses. What we don't want to be doing is giving ground or giving part of the area that God has given us where we're trusting him, giving it back to the devil by allowing anger to control us or by turning ourselves over to the sinful nature, you know, those kinds of things. Cast that off. Cast that aside. Now, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his intent. Just because you've been delivered from his domain doesn't mean he isn't going to still try. Doesn't mean he won't still take that place if you give it to him. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let him get a foothold. So this is the encouragement from the scripture not to give up in the areas of our boundaries that God has given us. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I'll give this out to you too. Again, another familiar passage. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So again, it says the devil is looking for someone to destroy. He prowls about as a roaring lion. Okay, so looking for someone to destroy. It says stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So don't give up ground to the enemy. Don't give up part of the boundaries that God has established for you in your faith and your walk and your trust with him. Don't give that back up and lose some of that area that God has entrusted to you. So, our response. First, I believe that the way we need to respond is in self-examination. Let's look at, are there areas where I have developed spiritual dullness? Because what's that going to do? It's going to keep us babies. It's going to keep us from expanding, you know, unable to teach others. By now we ought to be teaching others, but we're not because we're still spiritual babies because of our spiritual dullness and our lack of ability to listen. Examine for footholds or strongholds of the devil. Are there places that we have given him control or we have given him a place of power or a place of dominion in our life? And then to self-examine, how are your boundaries expanding? Are your boundaries expanding? That's the expectation of the Lord, that you would continue to increase spiritual in your spiritual boundaries or capacities, increase in your geographic or your physical boundaries and capacities, that the Lord would increase you. As you're faithful with a few, he will entrust you with more. And we're talking about your personal growth, your personal spiritual growth in your own boundaries. Teaching and mentoring others, caring for other believers, as we talked about in here, and reaching out to non-believers, expanding God's kingdom by people being brought into the kingdom of God, born again. And I just want to, you know, conclude with this, that the opportunities abound at Praise Fellowship Church. You know, as we, you know, announced to you today, we have all of these things that we're teaming up together with to serve in the capacities that God has gifted us and graced us. Don't sit there and do nothing. You will be spiritually dull if that's what you do. If you just, you know, and it's like I shared with you last week, I think it was, that I was talking about, God has created us in his own image. And in his image, he's called us, he has caused us to be creative, to be imaginative, and to live for a purpose. God's existence is with a purpose in mind. Our existence is with a purpose in mind. And I shared with you last week that daily, making it through the day is not purposeful living. If you just do what you have to do to eat and survive another day, that's not purposeful living. Purposeful living is doing what God has called you to do. And so, you know, let's not get spiritually dull. There are many opportunities, many ways for you to serve in many different capacities. Just start you know, knocking on the doors that are opening up as far as opportunities for you, and checking out the different things that are available. Don't just sit there and become spiritually dull. And never, I will never give you a preacher beeper. So you can be aware of that, that, you know, and so that's the way it is. All right. So let's pray. I believe better things concerning you than that. So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share these words and to bring the challenge and the stir, Father, that comes from your word, according to what your expectations are, that we're going to continue to increase in our spiritual and our physical boundaries. Thank you that you have entrusted us, Lord, with work to do where we represent you, and work to do that advances your kingdom. And may we be faithful, Lord, with those talents that you have given us. May we be faithful with the authority and with the power that you have entrusted to us. May we work together as a team, Lord, and if we start rubbing against each other, Lord, help us to realize it's part of the activity that's going to happen when we're doing so many things, but we can work together as a team, and we can work it out, and we can stay in healthy relationship and unified in our vision, and make sure that the victory is in Christ Jesus, and the victory is yours, and we are part of living out that victory. Thank you, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, with that, you are...